Recently, as you are most likely aware, the Supreme Court heard arguments for and against same-sex marriage. Is same-sex marriage constitutional? In other words, should federal law declare same-sex marriage? I'm going to switch to this. Should law declare same-sex marriage, federal law, and overrule each state's decision on the matter? And should same-sex marriages be recognized across state lines? And this has made me think about how there are many times in human history when what is simply the right thing to do gets warped and complicated by some of the powers that be. Unitarian Universalism has always promoted voicing the simple truths about right and wrong. Somehow in 2015, we find ourselves listening to arguments being made in our nation's highest court that outright say that women who love women and men who love men are less than. That the relationships they have, the family they may or may not choose to create, is a threat to the morality and strength of our nation. Really? Take a moment to hear what that argument implies. That argument says that lesbian and gay people are less human. They are less able to be moral, good, and responsible, less able than straight people. The argument is belittling, dehumanizing, and absurd. The arguments against same-sex marriage are based predominantly on moral and religious-based arguments. And it always pains me to realize how closely religion in our society is tied to bigotry, prejudice, and all-out hatred of the LGBTQ community. All around the world, there are church services in which religious leaders are instructing their congregation to hate people because of who they love. Religion is supposed to explore human and divine possibility, not cage human and divine possibility in a prison of hatred. I feel immense guilt that I am not in Washington, D.C., in my clergy collar, which I do have, with a sign saying that I am an ally and that I feel my marriage and my humanity are harmed by the fact that gay and lesbian people are denied the rights that I have. You may have heard that during the Supreme Court proceedings on the question of same-sex marriage, a man was removed from the courtroom for screaming, "If you support gay marriage, you will burn in hell." And my guess is that he learned that at church, which in my mind is the exact opposite of what church is supposed to be about. A minister, or many ministers, taught him a lesson of hate week by week, urging the congregation to integrate these lessons of bigotry into their daily life and calling it family values. I am a minister too. I'm a religious leader. And my religion also asks me to take up moral, ethical, and spiritual issues. And I too have ideas about family values, and as of today, I too preach about them at my church. As Todd Parr's book told us during the story time, some families are small, some families are big, some have step-siblings and step-parents, some have adopted children, some have foster children, some have two moms, some have two dads. Some are the same color, some are different colors. It is not the structure of a family, then, that makes a family ideal or happy, and it is certainly not the structure that makes a family moral. I've been very proud recently of my home state of South Carolina. They just won a Pulitzer Prize in journalism. The Charleston Post and Courier did an amazing investigative expose, series of articles on domestic violence in South Carolina, predominantly between married or formerly married people. And so since we're talking about South Carolina, these are heterosexual couples, since same-sex marriage is not legal there. And they talk about how every 12 days for the past decade, a woman in South Carolina has lost her life at the hands of her male lover. And the series of articles is called Till Death Do Us Part. And one of the headliners before you start reading the series says, couple South Carolina's deep belief about the sanctity of marriage with the violence and traditional wedding vows take on a sinister tone. Unfortunately, there are also people in same-sex relationships in abusive, violent situations. But the point is that the structure of a family is not what ensures the health and well-being of that family. Insisting that only men can marry women and women can marry men does not strengthen our collective morality and does not automatically cure social problems. It is the nature of the relationship between family members that ensures the well-being and in turn the well-being of society as a whole. The structure of a family is not the value I promote as a religious leader. I value healthy relationships between lovers who are married and lovers who are not married, families with children and families without children. Healthy relationships rooted in love and respect in any and all families will make society better. That's the framework of the family values our Unitarian Universalist faith promotes. My favorite page of the book we read to the kids is the one where it says, all families can help each other be strong. And that's true. At their best, families help each other be strong. And what kind of things make a family strong, you might be wondering. And there's a lot of different things, and we're going to get to three of them in a minute. But one of the things families do is share meals together. And it's not always at a table, but there are tables out there today because I'm hoping it will feel a little bit symbolically like we are a family sitting around the table having this one-sided discussion. You can talk to me after the service and for weeks after. My hope as well is that ideally families nourish us. And so we, Tammy, Paul, and I, who did hospitality, thank you, Tammy and Paul, have prepared some symbols of that nourishment, and I'm going to take us through them one at a time. So while I talk about the first thing that I think makes families strong, I invite you to take a cup of tapioca pudding, and the red cups, if there's a V on them, they're vegan, and if you have a white cup, those are vegan. They actually taste very similar. And the vegan ones definitely need a spoon. The red ones you can sort of just throw back. They came out a little soupy. And pass, some of you I know are not at a table, so those of you at a table, if you could pass some of the tapioca pudding around. For me, tapioca pudding felt like a good way to have sort of a synesthesia moment of experiencing unconditional belonging. For me, it's a comfort food. If you hate tapioca pudding, I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm so sorry. So I was thinking about how unconditional belonging, in my mind, is a fundamental value of what I would consider a healthy family. And it brought to mind a story that I've changed a few of the details of in the name of my friend. But when I was in college, my freshman year, I met a guy named Pete, and he became part of our group of friends. And Pete came out to us as gay. His first semester of college, he came from a small town in Missouri, and he had never lived as an openly gay man. He thought he'd give it a shot while in college. And he gained so much confidence that he thought, I'm going to go back home over Christmas break, and I'm going to tell my family that I'm gay. Now, the more we learned about Pete's family, every stereotype came to mind. He described them as religiously conservative. His dad was a Marine. And they had been in the Boy Scouts growing up. And Pete liked to talk about how important the Boy Scouts had been for he and his dad, and he'd become an Eagle Scout, how proud of him his dad was. And all of us are sitting there thinking, he's a grown man, we're not going to tell him not to do this, but this is going to be one heck of a Christmas vacation. I don't think this is going to go well. So the break ended, and Pete came back, and we sat around with him and wanted to know what had happened. And he said, on Christmas Day, no less, he sat his parents and his sister down in the living room and without much delay told them that he was gay. And his father started crying and said how proud he was of Pete that he was man enough to be honest. He hugged him and cried and said how grateful he was that Pete felt safe enough. He trusted his family enough to believe that they would meet him with unconditional belonging. And his dad said, we must have done something right raising you. Unconditional belonging is part of a healthy family. Come as you are, and you will be loved. Not always fully understood, as I have found in my own family, but hopefully accepted. And I believe if unconditional belonging was one of the customs in every family, our society would indeed be more moral and more strong. Ideally, the second thing I'll bring up as a family value, is that families challenge us to do and be our best. They make us eat our vegetables. And I invite you now to eat just one of the vegetables on your table, if there are enough to go around. A great sound. So my dad, much like me, is a sap for a motivational story. And in thinking about how ideally families challenge us to be the best we can be and do our best, Dad was recently at an air show in Florida called Sun and Fun, and he met, while he was there, a famous pilot named Jessica Cox. Now, it took Jessica 3 years to get her pilot's license, but what makes Jessica stand out is that she was born without arms. And when you hear Jessica tell her life story, She talks about her parents providing that sense of unconditional belonging. You can imagine how hard it would be to grow up with no arms, with other people constantly asking you questions. And they met Jessica with love and support through every challenge in her life. But they also challenged her to be and do her best. Jessica told a story in her talk about her book, saying how in kindergarten she was so frustrated because she couldn't tie her shoes or zip her coat by herself like the other kids. She couldn't dress herself in the morning like the other kids. And Jessica's parents said, "We believe in you, and we know you'll figure this out. We're here for you, but we can't do it for you. So you're going to have to figure it out." And I cannot imagine how many hours of tears and frustration that must have required. But Jessica figured it out. She can tie her own shoes. And I imagine how painful it was for her parents to stand back and watch her find her own resilience. How hard it would be to not feed her or tie her shoes or write her school essay for her. But her parents wanted their daughter to be the best she could be. She did learn how to tie her shoes. She did figure out a system of hanging her clothes up on the wall with adhesive, and then she could shimmy into them in the morning. Using only her feet, she had no prosthetic arms, chose not to. She is a two-time black belt winner in the American Taekwondo Association. The only person without arms to do that, and she's done it twice. Using only her feet, she can put in her own contacts and take them out. She signed my dad's copy of her book. She can type 25 words a minute. She's a certified scuba diver, pumps her own gas, and oh yeah, she has her pilot's license. So ideally, families challenge us to do and be our best. Now, when Tammy, Paul, and I were trying to brainstorm what to do about this, how to represent this next family value with food, this is what we came up with, and I think it's brilliant. At its best, family witnesses and celebrates the ongoing transformation all of us go through. Throughout our lives, we fall in love, we get our hearts broken, we learn new ideas, our identity changes from child to teen to adult, and we are always changing and growing in response to the experiences we have. Some parts of how we change are sad. Others are thrilling and enlightening. At their best, families witness and celebrate each other's ongoing transformation. And as a symbol of our ongoing transformation, you'll find different kinds of chocolate on your table. Okay, bear with me. So we were thinking that when you're young, most of us, this won't apply to everyone, it's easier to like milk chocolate. It's sweet, sweeter. But as we get older, we start to like chocolate with nuts in it and dark chocolate. Our tastes deepen and broaden. And sort of the same with our life experiences. The more experiences we have, our tastes broaden, if you will. So throughout the rest of this sermon, feel free to unwrap and eat whatever chocolate calls to you at this point in your life. Transformation comes in many forms. Parents witness their children becoming more and more independent. I'm curious what kind everybody chose.
Mr. Goodbar.
Children watch their parents age and grow. Children watch each other grow. We witness our significant others cycling through jobs in search of a career that will satisfy them. We watch our loved ones go through periods of depression and grief. We see our loved ones in the moments when they are at peace with themselves and their lives. People we love are always learning something new about themselves and the world around them. And part of the privilege of family is witnessing the journey of our loved ones' lives, celebrating how our loved ones are always transforming in front of our eyes. All families can help each other be strong. Unconditional belonging, challenging one another to do and be our best, witnessing and celebrating our constant transformation. These are three things to promote and value about family. We often hear religious leaders confining family and limiting it to an outdated conformity. One man, one woman, 2.5 kids, I think it is. When you think about it, is that truly what we value about family? Will it destroy the strength of our families and our morality as a nation if we legalize same-sex marriage? No, of course not. As Unitarian Universalists, we celebrate and value the family. We believe that families at their best help each other be strong. And it is very important right now when we're in conversations in the grocery store with our families, if you feel this to be true, it's important that we share our Unitarian Universalist values and contribute to the conversation about what makes a family, love. Love makes a family. As the Supreme Court prepares its ruling on same-sex marriage, may we remember how simple right and wrong are on this issue, since we believe in the full humanity of all people. If justice is done, they will rule in favor of love. May it be so. Amen.